Hardware Division of the Arts, State of the Arts Podcast. My name is Terrence Van, and I'm joined today by Alan Basden of Just the Art Space. And Alan, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Just the Art Space?
Sure. Terrence, yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the invite. So yeah, I'm the president and one of the original founders of Just the Art Space. I'm an artist and a designer. I work in the financial industry in my day job, and in the evenings I work on Just Art Space. It's really my second job. We started in 2015, really. We're sort of a community-based grassroots arts organization that has set out to restore the historic Chester farmhouse on Grub Road. It's about 200 years old, and we set out to restore it for community benefit and the arts.
Wow, that's amazing. 200 years old. Can you tell the listeners about what was once there and, you know, how you decided to move this project along? And, you know, what was the community's reaction, and how has that experience been for you?
Yeah. You know, I grew up just down the road there. I'm a graduate of Concord High School right nearby. And so it was this neat property that I would always walk by on my way to school. It's about 26 acres there, Chester Park now. And this is the old original farmstead building that's there. We don't really even know when it was built, but we do know that it shows up on an old census map from 1849. And those old maps are really neat because they would put the name of the owner on the map, so you can see all these things. And it really harkens back to a time in Brandywine Hundred when it was very rural. And you see all these names on there, and everybody's related. You just see Tally, 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 Hanby, 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 you know, Falk and Grub, and all these names that you know if you know the area. And so it's kind of neat. You know, whenever you find one of these old houses, these old farmsteads, it's still there. And but it's been tough to save them because they're small and stone, and it's often the county will acquire them when they acquire an old farm to use for a school or a park or something like that. And they get this little building and they don't really know what to do with it. They're a little hard to figure out what to do with. So they get mothballed, and folks try to do the right thing. They hold on to it so it can be used, but over time, just, you know, things just get neglected and they fall apart. So around year 2000, the county was going to bulldoze this house to make way for soccer fields. And my dad, who still lives there in the area, he'd gotten notice of this, and he, you know, thought, well, that's something worth saving. So he worked with then Councilman Weiner, and they arranged to have this saved and put into a resident curatorship program. Mm. But they never got any takers. The idea would be that somebody could come fix it up and live there forever, or, you know, till they die and not have to pay for it. But they just didn't get any takers for the program. These farmsteads, they're just, it would be expensive to do it. It's not big. You'd never own it. So that kind of went nowhere. And then about 2015, my wife, Deborah Basden, another artist, she and I were at a party with some friends, and I ran into an old high school friend of mine, Dan Benarsik, and he introduced me to his sister, Susan Benarsik, who's an artist, and her husband, Ken Velasquez. And, you know, we just started talking, and we were talking about this whole property, some of these old things that, you know, really somebody should do something about this. And then we were also talking about the arts and a lack of arts venues right there in Brandywine Hundred. And Susan and I were talking about our growing up and being interested in the arts, but not really feeling fully supported as kids in the area. There just wasn't the infrastructure for the arts. And one thing led to another, and thought, wow, that property and the arts, and maybe we could start a nonprofit, and we could get grant money, and we could hold classes and workshops and have a gallery and do all these wonderful things. And we had no idea what we were talking about or how we would do it. And so, ended up like just going to the library and getting lots of books, like, what is a nonprofit? How do you start a nonprofit? How do you fundraise? And we just kept at it. And it's been a while, but we're getting there. You know, we're only weeks away from our certificate of occupancy at this point.
Wow. Congratulations. Congratulations. That's incredible. And that's an awesome story, just to show, you know, how things can happen in a serendipitous way. And how, you know, artists, you know, coming together, you know, a lot of things can happen from there. And if you could, you know, let our listeners know, what kind of art do you do? What is your background? And you said your wife is also an artist. That's awesome. Do you collaborate on projects? You know, how is your art connected?
That's the collaboration. That's a sticky one. Like a marriage.
Oh, of course. Right. Yeah. Artists, yeah. We can be somewhat fickle. That is true.
But it's fantastic. No, she, I went to Parsons School of Design in New York, and she went to the School of Visual Arts in New York.
Oh, me too. I'm an alumni.
You're SVA, are you?
SVA, yes, sir.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't end up graduating from there, but that's where I went to get my undergrad in illustration. You know,
oh, fantastic. Yeah, she was an illustration major there.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. That's cool.
But we met when we were both living in Queens at the time, and you know, but it you know, we didn't really meet as artists. We just met separately and just happened to both be artists. So in my day job, I work in the financial industry. I do a lot of interactive work. I do design websites, and I do a lot of animation and video, which is kind of interesting because there's a lot of my art and design comes into play there. But it's very very heavily electronic what I do. But for the art space, I'm much more focused on traditional media. So I'm really a big sketcher. I maintain a sketchbook. I'm always scratching and doodling and writing and drawing. Big printmaker. Both Deborah and I are really into block printing, line of cuts. We kind of got turned onto that through the art space, really, from Susan Benarsik. She was a printmaking major, so she kind of got us hooked into that.
Nice. So you're kind of like a team. Everyone has different, you know, specialties and introduces different things into the space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You mean team as far as the art space in general? I mean,
The art space in general, but I'm saying is like, you're all individual artists, you know, with different talents, it seems. And that brings, I'm sure, different perspectives. And I think it's interesting collaborating with artists in spaces because there's always interesting outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, when we started this, it's just funny where it's taken us, because you just can't really know. I mean, you can't know who you're going to meet. You can't know what magic they're going to bring into the mix. And you've just always got to stay open to it. You think, well, we're looking for this person and that person, this other person. And you just have to accept the fact that you were wrong from the get-go. That's not who you were looking for. And this other person who lives locally showed up, and you've just got to see the magic in what they do and realize what's right in front of your face. So we've found some wonderful people. Some of the people that do fantastic work with us. We have Charlie Parker. He was a graduate of Mount Pleasant, and he does lots of really heavy, great technique, plein air painting, gouache. Fantastic. He can just tell you so much about how to mix colors and get any color you want from just a couple tubes and to just capture a beautiful scene. It's just magic to watch him work. So he's just, we didn't know that he was out there until we started this, and he came to one of our sketch events, and I just saw him drawing, and who is this guy? I got to know who he is, you know? Monica Billette, who runs our sketch events now, she's fantastic. She's also does line of cut printing, and I've taught some workshops with her. But she's also a musician, and she plays fiddle and sings for Wasted Arrows. And she's wonderful. And she brings such a great perspective on our sketch events, because she curates these soundtracks for them that are themed around the models, and she taps into her network of musicians and whoever to come in and be costume models for us. You know, we just didn't know that there was a Monica out there till we started this. We just had to recognize when she comes in the door, like, you know, who is this? Get her involved. We need her.
And that's awesome that you say that, because it makes me want to see this, be there in person and kind of like, you know, see the energy in the programs, and And actually, could you share a little bit more about some of the sketch events? It sounds like there's a lot going on there, and it changes.
Yeah, we do the monthly. And again, it's funny how it works because when we first started this, okay, one of the things that a lot of art centers will do, they'll have drawing sessions. Usually it's with a nude model. And we just didn't have the space at that point, to be able to have a, a safe, secure, appropriate place for a nude model. So we said, okay, we've got to do costume models. And well, then what can you do with that? And we started really diving into, well, what could you possibly do? I mean, then it just opens up such a huge venue. And I think one of my favorites we had, we've had this one woman, Corey. She was a competitive dancer with the Nanticoke Nation downstate, and she came in her full regalia and danced and sat and talked, and she was amazing. We had this woman, Artie, who is from South India, and she specializes in Bollywood dance, and she came out in this wonderful outfit and posed, and she was wonderful. And then Monica's bringing in, let's see, the upcoming sketch event we have is The Goth. Her friend Kelsey is going to be dressed in a goth theme, and the whole soundtrack. She's opened this up on Facebook, and all her friends are like chiming in with like, "Oh, you got to play this, and you got to play that." And I'm like, "You got to have Bauhaus, playing this." And so there's all kinds of energy going on into what this is going to be like. So it's very organic and interesting.
I love that. I love that. I want to sit in. I have to sit in. I'm going to have to join a session. And it's been a while since I've done some live sketching, actually. And it's so cool to hear that. That just sounds like a lot of fun to be there. Even if you're not an artist, just to kind of to be there and witness all of that. Take a
And
picture.
you're saying exactly what everybody says. Like, oh man, I'm rusty. I haven't been for a while. It's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You never get to a point with this stuff where you're like, I'm a great artist and I'm happy with what I'm drawing. Everybody's
Right.
like, yeah, man, if only I did this more, So it's just like, come out, keep working at it.
Yes. No, I love that, and I love that. That's what this space, provides for folks out there. And what do you think that, going forward, is there a vision that you have for just the art space? As far as growing and further engagement, with artists and with folks that want to be artists, how do you see that, kind of expanding?
Well, it's going to be huge once we're actually into the space. And that's been something we've been hindered by is we've just been in this constant construction phase, working with the county. They were working on the outside of the building. We got the grants to take care of the inside of the building. It's been a lot of just sort of fundraising like. So we've been holding our programming offsite in other locations. And so it limits what we can do. We have to pay for rentals in places, but now, when we're going to be in our own space, it kind of ratchets up to another level. We're going to start bringing people in. So that's going to allow us to start doing a lot more of the hardcore nuts and bolts instruction, drawing and painting, very technique-based stuff, bringing more people in. And, I think my feeling of when it's going to be successful, it's funny because you always have to write this stuff down on grants and for people, what does success look like? And we put numbers down. I think my first thing I put down was like 2,600 people a year walking in the door. I don't know. Like, we'll figure it out. And then people look down like, you're insane. You're not going to get that. Okay, so half that. Okay, 1,300. But ultimately, I think what I'm gonna my metric of success in this thing is like, if you look at our logo, like go to gesturartspace.org. And you look at our logo, it's a house with the windows with light coming out of it. And emotionally, that's what I feel like. When you pull up and you just hear laughter coming out of there, and this is a lively place, and people are slinging paint and clay and laughing, and you hear music, and they're arguing about love and death and hate and war and like all that stuff, that's success. It just feels alive in there.
I want to take a minute to remind our listeners that you are tuned into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV for Delaware State of the Arts. That's awesome to hear that it's moving forward. And is there an opening date set? Is there a grand opening event that you'll have? Are there some plans along those lines?
That's exactly the right question. I'm sorry I can't answer it.
Oh no, that's fine. That's fine. You know, because honestly, this sounds like a unique experience, and it's always worth, you know, the time put in it, you know, that goes into it. And
yeah, I mean, I can tell you why I can't. It's a little hard because we've got our contractor right now, BSS Contractors, and they've been a great partner, and they're working on the inside. But, you know, they've got to work with land use and get, you know, they've got to get their permits and things. They've got to pass inspections. And there's always just something that comes back in a project like this. You know, you think that something's going to take 3 weeks. The next thing somebody from land use says, I need you to do this other thing. So I've been very cagey about putting too rigid timetables. But, you know, we are getting some very optimistic feedback from Suzanne, our construction chair, who never likes to put dates on things. And she's telling us we're a few weeks out. Brian's saying a few weeks out from getting our certificate of occupancy. And once we've got that, then I'll feel a little bit more secure about starting to put dates on grand opening and things like that.
Sure, sure. Well, it feels good, you know, it feels good. And, you know, I'm really happy to hear, you know, that this is all happening. And, you know, even right now, can you kind of share a little bit on how folks can connect with you right now? What is the best way to, you know, reach you? What is the best way to engage? And, you know, how they can just connect with you?
Well, the easiest thing they could do is if they just go to our website, jesterartspace.org, and you'll see there's a menu item there for volunteer. And on there, we've got a form. You can just put in your name, your contact info, tell us what skills you have to offer and what skills you'd like to learn. We're, you know, like I said, we just figured this out from scratch ourselves. So we really have a lot of respect for people who just say, I don't know anything about social media marketing, but I want to learn. I'm game to try, you know. So we've got a few descriptions of some skills that we're looking for there. I think marketing is probably one of the biggest things we're looking for right now. Mm. You know, folks who and folks who are willing to learn it as well. We're looking for people who can take a handoff from our programming folks and then follow through our plan and just own, you know, this class here is all the ways I need to promote that this month. And we just really need those bodies doing that stuff. But again, lots of things. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for coming in and helping to put our mailbox in and do mm-hmm. more landscaping and all kinds of stuff. So jesterartspace.org volunteer tab.
Oh, that's fabulous. And thank you for sharing that. Cause you know, there are always folks out there that are looking to volunteer. You know, it's always a blessing to see folks come out and put their time into especially something creative, I think. Mm-hmm. And you know, I can't wait to see this space. I'm really excited. It's been, you know, absolutely awesome, you know, engaging with you right now and learning about Just the Art Space. And you know, I feel as artist to artist, and it's also, I love the SVA connection, you know, and Parsons yeah. also. So many talented artists come from there, and that's an awesome connection you and your wife to have. A nice, hopefully there's not some clashes, you know, creative clashes, you know, paint splashing the other way. Hey, it happens, you know, but
no, we're mostly pretty good. Like we've got our own projects and we, you know, and she's so damn blunt, you know, I mean, she'll just tell me if I'm doing something that stinks. I mean, she'll just, you know, so. And that's what you need, you know?
Yeah,
you
need- absolutely. Absolutely. That goes a long way. Just straight to artist advice. Artists listen to other artists. It seems to be a theme there.
Yeah. They beat that out of you in art school, that ego. I mean, those first critiques you sit in, you know, they'll be brutal, and you just got to learn to not take it personally. You know, they're there to help you.
Oh, that's so true. That is so. You're taking me that the freshman year at SVA was.
Man, I I never forget. I was in this one doing layouts with Lloyd Ziff. He was the art director at Condé Nast Traveler, and really great, brilliant guy. And I got this layout, and I worked at that comp, and it was just so perfectly drawn. And I put it up on the wall, and I was so proud of it. And he comes up, and he just like pulls out trusty old red marker, and he starts like drawing all over it. And he's like, "This should be like this." And he turns around, and he just sees this look of horror on my face, and he recognizes it immediately. He said, "Oh, you're going to have to get over that. You got to get over that right now. Like, you can't take this so personally, you know."
It's funny you say that, because I reached out to my freshman painting teacher. And I thanked him. I thanked him for some of his tough critiques and for his advice that maybe at the time didn't sit well with me, but it came to, you know, fruition once I kind of got started. So, you know, to your point, it's definitely important to, you know, have critiques and peer-to-peer artists, you know, mm-hmm. network goes a long way too. And I feel like that's going to be something that at Just the Art Space that is, you know, I can feel that reverberating already. It's really exciting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's really, we really see ourselves as being this creative hub in the neighborhood. I mean, we recognize there's a lot of folks, you know, there's a lot of fantastic creative talent in the area, but there's also a lot of folks who just, you know, somebody who just, it's a wonderful woman who lives nearby who just wants to do a nice watercolor of her grandkids or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just so nice to feel like we're going to be able to offer that kind of support between all levels of people walking in that door and be able to just help people achieve what they want creatively.